I want to share something with you this morning. I call this centering your life around Christ. And so here's the thing. You and I know how to do busy. Do you know what I'm saying? We know how to be busy. Life is hectic. You know, it used to be when you said to someone, hey, how are you doing? They'd say, well, I'm doing okay, or this or that, whatever. You know, there's any kind of different ways. Now what's the most common answer, how you doing? So busy, right? So I don't know if anything's really changed, if it's just more noticeable, but everybody's busy. Everybody's got more things to do than they have time to do those things. And that has become the narrative in our world today. Some of it's probably the culture and the society that we live in. Some of it is probably the way we're wired, you know, some more so than others. But here's the thing. That mentality creeps into our Christian walk. And even though we know this and we know better, there's something I think in us that wants to try to convince us that the more we do for God, the more spiritual we are, the more he's pleased with us, you know, or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. We know better than that. But still, it's there. If I'm busy, then God must be happy with me because I'm so busy, and I'm so busy in the things of the Lord many times. You know, many of us could say that. And somehow we measure our commitment to Christ through our activity and through our busyness. So said another way, we know how to be Marthas probably more than we know how to be Marys, okay? And if you know the story, it's in Luke chapter 10. We'll look at it here real quick. So these two sisters, and of course their brother was Lazarus, so that was the family. Now I don't know the whole living arrangements. It says in this passage that Jesus came to Martha's house. I don't know if Mary lived there too or whatever, but it does say, I think, in this passage that it was Martha's house. But so Jesus came along with some others, and so this is a big deal, right? When you've got somebody coming over for dinner, not to mention the fact that it's Jesus, right? And, you know, think about that. And so Martha, and again, I'm not picking on the ladies, you know, guys have their own issues with different things or whatever, but you know what it's like, right? You want your house clean, you know, the meal, everything is priority, all these things. Busy, 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 right? Lots and lots of things. And so this is the story. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, Jesus, of course, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, this is amazing. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. What's that, Marcia, Marcia, whatever. What was that, from Brady Bunch? I don't know where that came from. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. How many ladies are just irritated by that, right? And you're not, but you know, you can get it, right? You understand Martha. You understand the way she's at, you know, the mindset that she's in, and here's Mary sitting at the, you know, probably in another room. You know, hard to picture how all this looked, but and she's, Jesus is talking. You know, it's a small group. It's not thousands of people on a hillside sort of thing. He's talking to a small group, and Mary just wanted to be there. Now, this is not, the lesson in this is, don't help your sister, right? Or don't help your wife, or don't help your whatever, you know? I mean, of course, we're supposed to help and serve and so forth. But Jesus, knowing the hearts of every person and knowing Martha's heart and her personality and Mary's and her personality, he said, no, she's doing the right thing. She's doing the right thing. She has picked, what is it called, the best part, I think? Yeah, or the good part. She's chosen that good part. So centering our lives around Christ, I'm going to kind of dig down into this a little bit this morning. So I preface and I begin this way because my point here is that this is not about doing more. This is not about being busier, because we already know that. So when I talk about our lives centered around Christ, I'm not talking about just more activity, right? More doing more things, being at church more often and going to more Bible studies and doing this and doing that or whatever. I'm talking about priorities. I'm talking about the things that are important to us. I've always said, in one of the prayers that I've prayed many, many times, Lord, I want kingdom priorities in my life. I want the things that are important to you to be the things that are important to me. And so that's really what we're going to talk about this morning, priorities, not about busyness. I think there are two approaches to the Christian life, and I might even rephrase that in some ways, because I think one is an abject failure, and the other will work and be successful. And so they are this, and this one is the failure. Trying to fit God into your life versus fitting your life around God. And I hope you can see how I'm making the distinguishing point here. The difference between trying to fit God into your busy, hectic, crazy life versus my life needs to fit around God. He is the priority. He is number one. In Him we live and move and have our being. He is everything to us. And too many people are just trying to fit God into their life. You know, God, I'm not an atheist. I know it's important. I need to have God in my life. You know, maybe I can fit Him in over here. Maybe He can be over in this corner of the room or whatever, you know, so to speak. And is that even the Christian life? I don't think so. I mean, in the end, God is the judge of our hearts. I'm not here trying to say that I know what's in everybody's heart, but I think you're on thin ice if you're trying to live a life where you're just trying to fit a little bit of God in there. I've told the story before about that Waltons. Remember the Waltons show, and where the father was, the one son, I don't remember which one, had gotten really into God, and he was irritating all of his brothers and sisters. And they made him kind of out to be goofy. And he, you know, the way they portrayed him, he was being goofy. But the father said, well, little religion never hurt anybody. You know, and that was his way of saying, you know, it's okay, I mean, a little bit of God. Well, we're not talking about a little bit of religion, right? We're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, everything we sang about this morning, this one that we worship and that we adore and that is the center of our lives, I hope and pray. And so, number one, that doesn't sound like lordship to me, right? But when we say, okay, you are the center of my life, God, my life will revolve around you, not trying to squeeze you in somewhere. There's an old saying that says, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all, right? Jesus can't be Lord of a part of your life, right? I mean, that makes no sense. Jesus can't be Lord of a part of your life. And again, I'm not passing judgment on anybody or their lives, and you know, God's opinion is the one that counts, and His view is the one that counts. But I'm going to say again, if you're just a person who's of that mindset of, I'll just try to fit a little bit of God into my busy, hectic, crazy life, I would question the issue of lordship. We need to all consider the fruit of our lives. Now, I know sometimes, you know, we could all beat ourselves up, right, over that to some degree. You know, I always feel like, you know, I'm not as fruitful as I should be, and, you know, and that fruit is measured in many different ways. But I say this message is not to give you ammunition to tell somebody else how they're coming up short, right? That's not what this is about. This is not to give you fodder so that you can go around and take inventory of everybody else's life. What I'm asking and what I'm trying to do and what the Lord was prompting me and what kind of led to this message is to take an inventory of my life. And so let's all take an inventory of our lives. Again, kingdom priorities, the things that are important to God would be the things that are important to me. One of the keys to a fruitful Christian life is this issue of centering our lives around Jesus Christ. As I mentioned before, Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. A very foundational verse to this whole idea is Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, you can back up and see what all the things are. You know, food, clothing, shelter, and those sort of things. And it doesn't mean that we don't work. It doesn't mean that we don't provide for our families and such like that. But the message here is to seek first the kingdom of God. The word first there is the Greek word proton, not like protons and neutrons, but proto, like proton, the first, like in English, a prologue is the beginning of a book or the beginning of a play or something like that. A prototype is the first of something, you know, the first whatever, a prototype of something that was made. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, if that verse is said, if you took the word first out of there, said, but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added to you, that still works, but by adding the word first, there's a level of urgency, there's a level of priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And how that, you know, nothing I'm saying is new to you, I don't think, if you've been walking with the Lord. And how to walk this out is certainly a challenge. You know, it's one thing to stand up here and talk about it. It's another thing, what does this look like in my life? And it may not look identical in every person's life, but we find ways to make sure that we're seeking first the kingdom of God, that he is our number one priority, and that our lives are centered around him. I want to look at the story way back in Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. What's the old joke here? Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Do you know what the answer to that is? I'd tell you if I was able. Well, anyways, all right. Ooh. What do you do? Buttum bump? Is that what they do? Cain and Abel, the first two sons of Adam and Eve. And many of you know the story. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. I was thinking about that phrase, his countenance fell. How can I describe that? It's that look your spouse gives you, right? When they're irritated with you, right? We've all done it, right? You know, kind of thing. But his countenance fell. He was angry. And so, you know, we unpack this a little bit. There's multiple layers, I think, to this. You know, what was the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering? Because it says that God respected Abel's offering, but he did not respect Cain's offering. And some people are quick to point out, and I think there's some truth in this, about the issue of blood. You know, that Abel's sacrifice was a blood sacrifice. He gave of the firstborn of his flock. And whereas Abel, you know, brought the fruit of the ground. And there's, you know, did they understand that at that time? How did, you know, even how did they know to bring an offering, and how did they know what to bring? You know, somehow, whether it was through their parents or God speaking directly to them, somehow they just knew that it was the right thing to do, that they needed to bring an offering. And they each brought their respective offering. And so, like I said, there's multiple layers, the blood versus the bloodless offering, maybe that's a part of it. I think there's something to be said about it. But the key is, again, it's found in that word in verse 4, Abel brought, this is the layer that I'm peeling away right now. There's other layers to this. But Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. And then it says that Cain brought an offering, right? He's brought something of the fruit of the ground. And so I think there's real significance in that, that Abel, and you know, why did God respect Abel's offering? You know, again, there's probably different layers of this, but I think one of them is that it, and I think it's very purposeful that the Bible makes the point that Abel brought the firstborn. He brought the first fruits of his increase. To me, that's one of the most glaring things that sticks out in this story. So the question, again, taking inventory of our lives, is God getting the first fruits or is he getting the leftovers? Amen? Is God getting the first fruits or is he getting the leftovers? There are a lot of religious people that are giving God leftovers. And, you know, a lot of people that name the name of Christ that maybe are just giving God leftovers. And, you know, I think if I dare go down this road for a second, you know, the issue of tithing and giving, right? It's the first fruits of our increase. It's not, I've got this, and that, and if I have anything left over, I'll give to God. You know, we I hope, you know, if we're living this out the way I think we're supposed to biblically live this out, we give the first fruits of our increase to God and then trust him in the rest. Because how many know that when you go through all your list of needs and obligations and so forth, that a lot of times there ain't nothing left at the end? So we say, God, my life is centered around you. You're first place in my life. I'm going to give you the first fruits. So kind of bringing this around and trying to give you a couple of practical things. One of the things I like to think of, and I'll explain what I mean by the hub of the wheel. When we set priorities in our life, we tend to do them, if we can picture them, even if we're not writing them down, you know, probably we don't, maybe sometimes we would, but not necessarily something we put on paper. But at least in our minds, we see a list. And if we're lovers of God, if we're Christians, if we're disciples of Jesus Christ, then God is at the top of the list, right? If God's not at the top of the list, then we've got other issues that we would need to deal with. But it might look something like, if you were looking at it in list form, you know, God, family, job, church, et cetera, whatever, you know, all these different things. And maybe there's other things that would go on down through that list. And maybe somewhere down that list, there's things like our hobbies, you know, things that recreation and things like that. And they have a place, but we know that they have to be in their right place. But the problem with that is, and we still have to deal with the issue of how we're going to manage our time and all that, but the problem with just seeing it as a list is the farther you go down the list, the farther you're away from God. Okay? So then it becomes very hard. You know, how can I justify? You know me, I like to ride motorcycles, whatever. You know, so should I feel guilty because I'm riding my motorcycle and not reading my Bible? You know, because that's farther away from God, you know, at the top of the list. So my point in the hub of the wheel is this. Jesus is the center. He's the hub of our lives. And everything that makes up our life is like a spoke in the wheel. So everything touches Jesus. And Jesus touches everything. Now, I know, like I said, you still got to sort out your time and your priorities and things like that. But it helps me to at least look at it that way, not so much in list form, but as Jesus at the center of everything in my life. So whether I'm out, you know, in the woods and I'm hunting or doing whatever, you know, some of these things I like to do or whatever, or what, you know, it's all around him. Yeah, I know, you know, how do you make some of these things? But you know what I'm saying? You know, it's all a part of life. It's all a part of our life, and our life is in him. In, again, I'll say, Acts 17:28, in him I live, I move, and I have my being. So wherever you know you are in your life, I hope that you see the priority of having Jesus as the hub of the wheel and everything in our lives making up the spokes. So whether we're praying, whether we're recreating or working at our job or whatever, you know, it's all centered around him. And this is, I think, very important. Now, having said all that, if you're spending 95% of your time recreating, you still, like I've said a couple of times, you still have to manage your life and your time and priorities and such like that. I get all that. You know, so you may need to kind of rethink a little bit of this, you know, if you're spending too much time over here or whatever. But the real key here that I'm trying to say is God is at the center of everything in our lives. If our life is consumed with everything else but, then we've got a problem. And God ends up getting the leftovers. He's not getting the first fruits of our life. And that's never, ever a good thing. I've said a million times, right? and we should all take inventory of our lives. Our checkbook and our calendar just says, you know, what our priorities are. You know, how we spend our resources, how we use our resources, how we spend our time says, it doesn't matter, you know, what we say. You know, those are things that speak to the reality of our lives and how we're living our lives. So, you know, all these things are a part of our lives, spokes in the wheel. You know, our job, I mean, we probably spend more time at our job, you know, for most people, if you're working a typical full-time job, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week, you know, or whatever that is. And, you know, so do you feel guilty about that? Well, that's one of the spokes of the wheel, right? We serve the Lord when we're at our job. We need to find ways to serve the Lord. So God should be in everything we do. And at the same time, we need to assess how we're using our time and our resources and stuff like that. That's not a contradiction. There's a balance there. They're both a part of having a Christ-centered life, having our life centered around Jesus. Last point here. The Word of God is our filter, and the Holy Spirit is our guide. Centering our lives around Jesus is keeping the Word of God central in all of our decisions. You know, I hope you see it this way. This beautiful love letter from God is the filter through which we filter our lives in terms of what kingdom priorities are. And the Word of God is our filter and the Holy Spirit is our guide. So centering our lives around Jesus is keeping the Word of God at the center of our lives and all of our decisions that we make in our lives and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We make this distinction sometimes in life between what we might term secular versus sacred. You know, sacred are the things that revolve around God, and secular are the things that don't, you know, they're out kind of out there in the world or whatever. And I don't think that's a good thing. I get it, I understand it, you know, and there's a place for that, but I really think we need to get away from that secular versus sacred sort of mindset. And you know, nothing in our lives should be devoid of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen? God speaks to every aspect of life. Now, how I sort that out and learn how to do that, I still got a long ways to go to learn how to do that. But I start from that foundation that God speaks to every aspect of my life, every aspect of my life. I quoted one of the nights here that we had the prayer week we had a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know what we were praying about, but I thought of that Abraham Kuyper. He was a Dutch, I think, theologian, but he was also prime minister for a while. Lived in around 1900 to 1905, I think, is when he was the prime minister. But he was a very strong believer, and he said this. He said, "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" I like that. Not one square inch in all of our existence over which Christ does not say, "That's mine. It's mine." So again, how we learn to live that out, I get it. You know, we got a long ways to go. We all have a long ways to go. So is Jesus the center of our lives? I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, please. I can't figure that out for you as much as I might want to try, right? Because we're a whole lot better at figuring out how somebody else needs to do it than we are ourselves. Right? I can't figure this out for you. I can lay out some things, as I tried to do that this morning a little bit. And I just encourage you again, take an inventory of your life. Is your life centered around Jesus Christ? Is he getting the first fruits or is he getting the leftovers? And those kinds of things, I just pray that those would just resonate in our heart and that we would take it seriously and that God would just seal these things in our heart so they would bear fruit in our lives. So Father, as we come before you, as we bring this to an end and this message to an end, I pray, God, that every one of us would not be so quick to look at how we may feel like somebody else is falling short of this, because that we're so tempted to do that. And it's just such, going back to what we talked about in men's group on Wednesday, such a prideful thing when we're trying to, you know, think we know exactly how somebody else needs to walk this out. You know, I've said, and I hope I'm faithful to this, I have a full-time job trying to keep my own life, you know, in order before God and having my life centered around Jesus Christ. So live your life the way that God leads you and be an example to others. You don't need to be beating other people over the head about it. You just need to follow the Holy Spirit as our guide, the Word of God as our filter through which we filter every decision, every priority. We want you, Lord Jesus, to be the hub of the wheel in our lives. Oh God, so that everything we do, from the time we awake in the morning to the time that we put our head on the pillow at night, would be centered around Jesus Christ. And I'll say it for probably the fourth time, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. That to me, and I hope to all of us here, is what it means to live for Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, and to have our lives centered around him. And I pray you would work in our hearts, bring conviction into our lives, God, so that we will do this in a way that is more pleasing and right in your sight. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed.